Okay, turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. There are cleaning lists that's going around, and make sure that you stay for the business meeting. We need your presence and your votes. Do want to ask you to continue to pray for Tonda. She is still quite ill, has pneumonia, and is basically confined to a chair or whatever, you know. So pray for her recovery, that we'll be able to go on the retreat next week. So pray for her. Luke 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I'm sure everybody wanted to be like the rich man and have all the good food that he had and all that he had in life. The Bible says, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Notice, don't read much about the beggar's funeral. The rich man probably had quite a funeral. It says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we recognize that that hell is a real place. Of course, Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults like that, they would like to say that this is a parable. But this is not a parable. There is no parable gives the name of a real person. This is a real person that's here involved, Lazarus. We know that these are real places that the Bible talks about. And we won't go into all the details of that. We know at the time that Luke 16 was written, this was in the Old Testament economy. And hell had two compartments. He had one compartment of paradise for Abraham and those children of faith. And then there was a great chasm, abyss between the two. And then there was the place of fire. This place was in the lower, is in the lower parts of the earth. When Jesus rose from the dead, he went down into the lower parts of the earth. Ephesians 4 tells us. Where did he go? He did not go to the place of fire. That was for the unsaved. That was for the lost people. The Bible says he led captivity captive. All of those saints like Abraham were waiting for the Lord to die, to pay their penalty, and were waiting for him to take them from that place to heaven. And so today, hell only has this one compartment, doesn't have two compartments. Isaiah talks about how hell hath enlarged her place, and there's a lot more room down there, and there's a lot more people in there than in the days of Lazarus and the day of Jesus. Of course, we know that there will be a day in that Revelation, it says death and hell will deliver up the dead that are in them. And death referring to the grave, and hell referring to the soul or the spirit. And man will, all those unsaved people will stand before Christ at the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged according to their works, not if they will go to the lake of fire, but what place in the lake of fire they will be. Hell is and was created for the devil and his angels. When the devil got man to sin, now sinful men, when they die, their soul goes to hell. And that's exactly where the rich man's soul went when he died, went to hell. And we see that the Bible makes it clear that even in hell, before the resurrection, men have a temporary body. And it's a real spiritual, some would call it a soulish body. And they could see, they could talk, they could feel, they could remember in this place. As we think about hell tonight, we want to think about it from a soul winning perspective. Why would you want to be a soul winner? Well, number one, because hell is real. It's not a parable. And people who die without Christ, immediately when they die, they go to hell. Hell is real. Number two, hell is not only real, hell is hot. Hell is hot. And you know, it's bad enough to think about hell, but it's really bad to think about someone that you love and someone you know that maybe they are dead and they weren't saved. Or someone you know and someone you love that's unsaved, and it's really hard to think about them in the flames of hell. I mean, hell is real, but it's also hot. And of course, the Bible says that he was in hell. And in verse 4, he's 24, he says, I am tormented in this flame. I think it was interesting. I don't remember who gave the illustration. Somebody recently, maybe it was at UWW. Was that it? Stephen? Okay, yeah. Talking about this agnostic, and who someone came up to him in great compassion and gave him a New Testament, and this Hollywood star was on TV and said, you know, if someone knows the way of salvation and doesn't tell somebody, certainly they'd have to have a lot of hate in them. Well, put it on the other way. If you love somebody, it would be very helpful for you to just imagine them burning, screaming in the flames of hell. You know, that's a reason to be a soul winner. You know, there's a lot of people today, Christianity, there's a lot of people who claim themselves to be Christians. And they don't want to be soul winners. They want to live for themselves. They don't tell people how to be saved. And if they did, it would be a detriment because they don't live a godly life. But the fact is, one of the things they aren't thinking about the fact that people that they know, when they die, they will go to hell and burn in flames. Hell's hot.
That's right.
And it's very sobering to think of one of your loved ones there. And so we see that it's hot. We see that it's hot. It's a place of torment. But we also see this. We see that people in hell, they don't want their loved ones to go there. You know, when I preach a sermon at for an unsaved person, it is very very helpful to be reminded that if that person is unsaved, they're in hell, and they don't want their relatives to go there. And they, in hell, want the preacher to preach the gospel. Because they don't want their relatives in hell. They don't want the people that funeral at hell. Sad thing is, you know, this man in hell maybe had more compassion on others than many living Christians do. But we need to be reminded. You know, some people say, well, you know, in a lot of cultures, they say, well, you know, in fact, I know somebody that resists coming to Christ because her son is dead. And she knows where he is. And you think of it, she thinks of it from a human standpoint. And it's really crazy. It just shows you how the devil has a hold of people's lives. But let me guarantee you, her son in hell is wanting that his mama would get saved. And those that are in hell desire that their loved ones would not go to that place. We find also is that this place and these people in hell, they want someone to tell their loved ones not to come there. But Abraham makes it very clear that what people need is the Word of God. You know, Lazarus, he thought, the rich man, he thought, boy, you know, do some kind of miracle. And people will listen to you and you know, they'll get saved. We like to think that way. Many times I catch myself praying like that. But you know what? Abraham said, no, miracles aren't going to work. What people need is the Word of God. As we think about that, what do we he says they have Moses and the prophets. You think about that, we recognize that Abraham's saying, you know what? The focus of the Bible is an eternal one. Has an eternal focus. And the purpose, one of the great purposes of the Bible is to keep people out of hell. We need to recognize that's one of the major focuses of the Bible. Keep people out of hell. You know, you're just so sad that I talk to people. I says, you go to such and such a church? I says, when's the last time you heard a sermon on how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? And most typically, I know what kind of people I ask that question to. They tell, well, I don't know if I ever heard a sermon like that. And I says, what do you go to the hardware store for? You go to the hardware store for marshmallows? You know, corn on the cob? You know, or you go for, you know, hardware, nuts and bolts and that kind of stuff. I says, well, man, I'd think that if you're going to church, that should be one of the things that's right at the top of the list here, telling people how they can avoid hell. And so we find that it's very clear that the Word of God, the very message of the Word of God, has an eternal perspective. And you know what? If we know the Bible, or we think we know the Bible. Now think about it. Young people, look this way. You know the Bible, you got the answers. Are you looking this way? You think you know the answers? Let me ask you a question. Has the Bible, the truth of the Bible, does it make you think about eternity? Does it stir you about the place of eternal damnation? Well, you know what? If it doesn't, let me tell you what. I think the fact is you don't really know the Bible. You don't really know the Bible. You know, if the main message of the Bible doesn't stir your heart, somehow the Bible isn't, you aren't getting it, right? You know what I'm saying? And that's what the Bible's saying here. So we need to be challenged tonight from the Word of God to win souls to Jesus Christ, because hell is real. We need to be challenged to win souls because hell is hot. It's a place of torment. It's not just a joke. It's a place of actual flames. It's a place of actual heat. It's an actual place of torment. And actual souls are suffering in hell right tonight. And we ought to be soul winners, because everybody in hell, as illustrated here, does not want their loved ones to come to that place of torment. And the compassion of lost people ought to convict us and stir us that we ought to have compassion while we yet have time to tell people about Jesus Christ. And this passage of Scripture tells us we ought to be a soul winner, because the very Bible that we read, the very Bible we have, has an eternal focus. And to know the Bible, to read the Bible, to carry the Bible, to say we know the Bible, if we really do, it will cause us to we will know that the central thought of the Bible is eternity. And man's eternal destiny in relationship to God. And it ought to cause us to win souls for Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? You know, that we can be saved and not think about souls. Isn't that amazing? That we could be saved and not think about souls. That we could be saved and not think about people going to hell. Amazing that God in His grace could save us and we could live with very little thought about people perishing in torment for eternity and not really think about it much. And maybe we read our Bible and, whatever, and not be gripped with the fact that the very focus of the Bible is that mankind has an eternal destiny. And Jesus came because man is a soul, has an eternal destiny. And God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some simple truths here. And we need to ask ourselves tonight, are we going to let the truth of the Word of God motivate us to seek to win others to Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we pray that even tonight You would help us to get our life focused on really what life as a Christian, our purpose, is really centered on. Rescuing souls from hell. And Lord, I pray that You will speak to our hearts if our lives are not about rescuing people from hell. I pray that, Lord, that we would come to repentance of our, whatever it is, selfishness, lack of compassion, lack of really letting the truth of Jesus Christ to be foremost in our life. And so, Lord, help us even in these moments to think of what would happen to some people that we love if they died and how they would be in torments forever and ever. So as we have our heads bowed, the Lord is speaking to your heart about being a witness for Christ. Your focus maybe has been way off. The devil's got a hold of your life. Your focus is way off of the main thing. And the Lord is very simply bringing to reality tonight, there is a place called hell. And you say, you know, I need to get it back on track. I need to get it back on track of the real main thing of life. And that is living for Christ, having the power of God, telling others about Jesus Christ. And with our heads bowed, say, just by an uplifted hand before the Lord, say, Lord, I need to be a soul winner. I need to get my life turned around. I need to be a soul winner. Just lift up your hand before the Lord. Anyone here tonight? Okay? Amen. Lord, use the Word of God in our lives tonight. And may You continue even tonight, Lord, to use this truth to stir our hearts. For there is yet, Lord, a great need right here in our midst for us to be what we ought to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.